It is January the 11th. We have four games. My teams are in the toilet. Let's say the toilet. That's the nice way of putting it. Today, all those missed games, they hurt. But let's talk about the games that were played, the performances that were produced. This is the Saturday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blind, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me and my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere and everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. Please go and find us and subscribe and like and thumb and everything. We are part of the Old Man Squad, proudly part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Four games, so three were postponed. I'm not going to go on a rant about my teams today. It was tough reading. Apparently, I talked about on the pregame show, I was hoping my opponents had missed games and things like that, and sadly that was not the case. So, it's not pretty reading in a few of my leagues, but c'est la vie, that's head-to-head. We have four games to talk about. Let's get into those. The first game, let me just hit refresh on this. Has it updated? Yes, it has. Very good. All right, first game, Utah at Phoenix. Utah, who are slowly easing into that tank, which is undoubtedly coming. They get the win in this one. They get the loss in this one. They didn't win. Phoenix get the win 114 to 106, but we will start with the Utah side of things. Michael Potter did start, so it was not Cody Williams. Michael Potter still didn't do anything. Walker Kessler had 16 and 13 with two blocks, so very consistent, playing very well. Colin Sexton had 24 and 4. A little bit off with his shooting, but the numbers are still there for him. Isaiah Collier, 8 assists and a steal, so he remains a nice streaming option if you need both of those categories. Lauri Markkanen, also serviceable performance. Let's call it serviceable. As for the rest of the guys here, Cody Williams moved back to the bench. He actually did some stuff today, but I'm not adding him. Svi Mykhailiuk, look, he had 13 points, 7 assists, 1 steal. We might get to a point where he has some value here down the stretch. We're not there yet, although who knows when Keyonte George is coming back or if John Collins even plays for Utah anymore. A lot of uncertainty with this rotation at the moment. So outside of Markkanen, Kessler, Sexton, it's pretty hard to hold anyone. I think Keyonte George I'd be holding. John Collins, I guess we're holding. That's probably it. Clarkson in deeper leagues, and if you're pretty comfortable in the standings, you could hold him in a standard league as well. For Phoenix, Durant and Booker did all the damage. That's just going to be the story moving forward. Ryan Dunn had 10, 5, and 2 with a block. He's very borderline for me. I know he's playing minutes. I know he's starting, but he doesn't do a lot. The same goes for Mason Plumlee, rebound streamer. That's probably best case scenario. Tyus Jones, 0 points, 6 assists. Feels like he's had sort of one good game this week and that's it. He's still a hold because he's starting and those assists can be valuable, but he is, I think, shallow leagues. You can probably move on. It's touch and go here. Probably a hold for now. Bradley Beal, 12 points, 3 assists. It's been very up and down since his shift to the bench. We're holding him, obviously, when we're not moving on from him, but it is a situation, as we're aware of, that we need to be monitoring. Grayson Allen had 4 threes off the bench. he is a good 3-point streamer, and they do play tomorrow. So just hold him, hold Tyus Jones. In regards to what I said, you hold him for tomorrow, assuming that they're in your best 7, 8, however many active players you've got. Plumlee as well. But beyond that, I think we can drop a lot of these guys. Iguodaro played 23 minutes. He had 9 points with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Yusuf Nurkic was out of the rotation again. So we're obviously moving on from Nurk at this point. I don't mind Iguodaro. He's obviously a better option than Mason Plumlee. They're going to continue to start Plumlee. They've been winning, so they will stick with it. But Iguodaro has a lot more upside. Probably not going to be playing enough that we want to roster him outside of deeper formats, but maybe we get to a point where he is playing 26 or 27 minutes and Plumlee's playing 20 or 18. So just keep an eye on what's going on there in Phoenix. Second game of the night, Toronto at Detroit. We'll start with the Raptors. Oh, Pistons get the win, another win. So it keeps them or moves them back above 500, 123 to 114. I was looking at the numbers after that game, and Detroit are actually 7th in the East. Maybe he's at 8th now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8th in the East. It's pretty close in that range, in that 8 range, sort of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 range. So, yeah, Detroit looking good. For Toronto, apart from the shooting, Scotty Barnes, good line here, 16 and 12, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 3 assists. The shooting's been a little bit up and down, but that's not something new for Scotty Barnes, so you should be prepared for that. RJ Barrett, this is a New York version of RJ Barrett. 10 points, 4 of 16 shooting, 2 of 6 from the line. The 2 steals, I guess, make it better, but don't do anything. But, we don't want to see this, so hopefully he can work his way out of this funk. Emmanuel Quickley, the shooting a bit off, only 2 assists, 1 steal, but he had 25 points. So good to see him being more aggressive on the offensive end of the court. Grady Dick had 13 points, 4 threes. The 30 minutes is better than what he'd been playing. Look, I'm probably going to hold him for one more game, but he is really trending towards being just a streamer, 3-point specialist. And nothing more. As long as they're healthy, keep in mind that there could be a point where he does play a little bit more or has more of a role if Quickley or Barrett or Barnes is injured or rested or whichever path they decide to go down. Bruce Brown, nice performance, 14, 5 and 3, 2 steals. This is what Bruce Brown can do. He's still probably not playing enough for me to go and add him in standard leagues, only 20 minutes, but if he's not traded, I think he should be traded, but if he's not and he pushes into a 25, 26-minute role, he'll probably have some value later in the season. Jamal Shedd appears to have got both hands on that backup point guard role, so he's another guy we want to watch moving forward. We're not adding him, but keep an eye on. He had 10 and 5 with 2 steals. And Chris Boucher, 14 points, another all right performance. I'm not adding him. I'm not that interested. I think this is just a bit of a fluky run for him. For Detroit, Asar Thompson started. He had 3 steals. He had 6 points. He had 20 minutes. So they are being really cautious with him, despite the fact he's starting. I think he's a hold. This could be the illness that he was coming back from. It could be the whole blood clot thing conditioning, although he should be through that by now. He's not really hitting that ceiling that we want him to yet, but I think he's probably still a hold, but it could be slow here. Tobias Harris, better performance from him. Jalen Duren had 10 and 9 with a block. Probably most encouraging for him is just the playing time. He's pushing to 30 minutes a night now. So, yeah, I think he's a pretty safe hold rest of season. Triple-double for Cade Cunningham. Tim Hardaway got hot, 27 points, 2 steals. 7 of 8 from three. Now, he's not going to do this every night, but with no Jaden Ivey, both he and Malik Beasley have to do a bit more. So if you wanted to grab Hardaway for now and see where it goes, go ahead. Malik Beasley, we hold him. He had 4 threes and 18 points in his 27 minutes. I'd still prefer him if I had to choose between the two, but Hardaway has been a little bit better of late. And, yeah, I'm not really interested in anyone else. Let's go to the next game. Oh, not that screen. Oh, yeah, that screen. I've just scrolled up too far, haven't I? All right. Let's start with Memphis, though, not Minnesota. Memphis head into Minnesota and get the win on the back of a circus shot, sort of a circus shot from Ja Morant, 127-125. Jaren Jackson continues to play very, very, very well. Desmond Bane, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. So this was nice. He's playing in spurts, but the numbers here overall are fine. Ja wasn't his best game. As I said, he did hit the game winner, I suppose, but only 12 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 assists and a steal. But just good to see him out there playing 30 minutes. That's all you can ask for. Let's have a look at the center rotation. Zach Edey started. He started well too. He had 6 or 8 points in the first 5 minutes and he ended with 8 points. He had 9 rebounds. He had a block, but he only played 20 minutes. Brandon Clark closed this game. He had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. So he wasn't spectacular either. And Jay Huff, he did play, but it was only 7 minutes. So that it was sort of weird. He came on for about 2 minutes and then they subbed him out and Brandon Clark came on. So this center rotation in Memphis is going to be a bit messy, I think. I'm probably holding Zach Edey, but I don't think he has to be rostered unless he consistently gets to 25 minutes, which I don't think is going to happen. Against Rudy Gobert, this should have been a good matchup for him, but they went with Clark against Gobert down the stretch. He was able to just move him around a little bit. So, yeah, it's going to be tough to predict. I would still have Edey as the priority over Brandon Clark, over Jay Huff. But as I said, Edey is going to be tough to roster unless you're in a pretty heavy punt build, which I am, and so I will hold him because all I need is rebounds and blocks, and I think even in 20 minutes he can be valuable in those categories. Jalen Wells had 13 points, 3 steals. He's just a points streamer. And Luke Kennard, he's sort of carving out a nice role here, 11 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Probably more of a 14-16 team league add, but a nice stream option if the schedule is favourable. And Scottie Pippen had 3 steals, but only 16 minutes. He's sort of a stash handcuff like we've talked about. But it's going to be tough. If Ja stays healthy and Desmond Bane's healthy and Kennard's playing well, then, yeah, Pippen's going to find it tough, I think, to play more than about 15 or 16 minutes. For the Timberwolves, Rudy Gobert left this game periodically due to an eye injury, but was able to return. 29 minutes, 12, 4 and 4 with a block. That's okay. A few of these points came late. It was looking like a pretty bad line. Only 4 rebounds. I don't know how a guy that's 9 foot tall gets the fewest rebounds in the starting five. What the hell? Anyway, hold him. Hopefully he gets better. Jaden McDaniels had one of his random offensive games, 9 of 12 from the field, 21 points, 3 steals, 2 blocks. If he was doing this nightly, he would clearly be a must-roster player, but he is not. We know how he works. DiVincenzo, probably his best game as a Timberwolf, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, has clearly moved ahead of Mike Conley, who appears to be... just easing into a coaching role on the bench there. 15 minutes, 3 points, pretty clear drop. I don't think he cares at this point, Mike Conley. I think he'd almost rather see DiVincenzo and Alexander Walker out there doing stuff, and he's just cheering on from the sideline. So We can drop Mike Conley. We do not need to hold Alexander Walker. Naz Reid is on a bit of a hot streak at the moment. If you wanted to try and sell him, you could. But I don't think you're getting much in return, so I'd probably just hold him. And the final game of the night, Miami at Portland. Now, I'd like to know, because I have feelings on this, who, and I mean, I don't know how many people will comment. I haven't looked at the comments yet. But which team is the most boring team for you to watch? Are there teams that you just, you see that they're on League Pass, if you have League Pass, and you just sort of go, I'd rather watch anything else? Because Miami are one of mine. I just don't get excited about them at all. And the Bucks are the other one. That's not to say I don't watch them, because I do, because I have to. But, yeah, this waiting for this game to end was painful. Miami get the win, 20 points or something, 119-98. Jaquez, I think we need to add him. He took a while to get going in this one, but 11-5-2 with two steals and a block. One of those steals came in about the last 4 seconds. We're holding him. Highsmith, he had five steals, and that was lovely that my opponent had had him today. He won't do this. This is a lot to do with the matchup here, so I'm not adding Highsmith. Jovic, I think, probably is an add. He had 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block. He has been playing well. So I think both he and Jaquez are rosterable. Terry Rozier is not. 11 points for Rozier. You stream him in when the schedule is favourable, but most of the time he's not doing enough. Khalil Ware had 7-4 with 2 blocks, but 16 minutes, not enough at this point. Very deep leagues, yes, but standard leagues, no. Duncan Robinson, 2 threes. He's just a 3-point streamer. And Tyler Hero, another very good game. I think he'll probably be an all-star. It deserves to be, as much as I have my issues with Tyler Hero. There was an incident in this game where, and this is a little thing, it's probably me just nitpicking, but he hit a three, or he shot a three, I don't know if it went in, and then as he was running sort of backwards, he just barreled over a drinks lady, and she shouldn't be there anyway, but a lady who was serving drinks on the sideline. He just barreled over and didn't even stop to acknowledge her. He just didn't even look at her. He just kept running. I'm like, dude, come on. I know you're focused on the game, but courtesy, manners, it's not hard. Anyway, I'm not ranting about Tyler Hero. Portland. Tamani Kamara, 6-10, 2 assists, a steal, a block, has to be rostered. Denny Avdija, better in this one. Shooting, not great, but 15-12, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. No DeAndre Ayton, no Robert Williams. So Donovan Klingon started. He had 8-10 with 2 blocks and a steal. That's pretty good, 27 minutes. If this is what we're going to get in a month or whenever, he will be a pretty clear must roster. If you picked him up for tonight, just hold him and see what happens with Ayton. And I wanted to bring up something about Ayton. So people know that I just don't really take Ayton seriously at this point. But I was just thinking back. I remember during his draft, the 2018 draft, and the fact that both he and Marvin Bagley went ahead of Luka. And then I thought, I know this draft was a decent draft, and DeAndre Ayton went number one. He went ahead of, these are the players he went ahead of, and DeAndre Ayton is a waste of space at this point, in my opinion. He went ahead of Luka Doncic, Jaren Jackson, Trae Young, Colin Sexton, Mikal Bridges, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Miles Bridges, Michael Porter Jr., Dante DiVincenzo, Anthony Simons, Jalen Brunson. Man, did they get that wrong. Anyway, there you go. There's my trivia on DeAndre Ayton for the day. Who knows if he plays, whatever. Scoot Henderson, only 3 points. I think he's a hold. Just didn't play well in this one. Simons and Sharp continue to play very well at the moment. Probably both sell highs, I would say. If you're concerned at all about shutdown or injuries or fake injuries, now would be a really good time to move those guys if anyone bites. We got some Duop Reith, so that's nice. As an Aussie, good to see him out there playing 16 minutes. He didn't do anything and we're not rostering him, but it's nice to see him out on the court. Not really anyone else there I'm interested in. All right, let's have a look at the questions. What the hell is going on with D'Lo? Good question. Is he hurt bad? I don't know. No idea when he plays again. In your league, the 7-team league, yes, you could drop him. I think his upside's like top 50, top 60. So, yeah, I think you can probably drop if you want to. Joseph Kim lost six games today to Fire and Ice. Yeah, man. Oh, my steal, and it's pretty much the same category. In every league that I'm losing, it's steals. And I didn't have Dyson Daniels. Didn't have LaMelo Ball. Didn't have someone else, another steals guy. Who didn't I have? I don't know. Anthony Davis. He's a steals guy. Anyway, we won't dwell on that. Collier is a good tier assist guy. He is. He's been playing well. So as long as Keontae George is out, I think we hold Collier if those stats are important to you. Debating whether it is worth trying to salvage this week's matchup due to the postponed games. Up 5-4, but may lose a couple of cats. Yeah, look, it's always a temptation if you're losing this week or you're potentially going to lose, to chase categories and potentially risk giving up players that could have long-term value as opposed to streamers. This is why I would suggest, and I'm assuming most team or most leagues, if you're in a head-to-head league, it is most categories. No, it is each category, not most. So if you win your week 6-3, you get six categories, six wins, three losses, or 5-4, or 7-2, rather than if it's most categories, and if you win 5-4 or you win 8-1, you still just get one victory for the week. It is for this reason that I prefer the former, which is each category, because then you could, like, there's going to be some leagues this week that I lose 5-4. I can guarantee it. And rather than just getting a 1-0 loss, I at least get my four categories. So it's not a massive difference compared to 5-4 or 4-5. So yes, it is. There are going to be some tough decisions to make tomorrow, although I don't think we'll get any postponed games tomorrow. So that's good. Would I use sixth spot waiver on Dante in a 10-team points league? Must claim. Look, I think he might be. A sixth spot in the waivers is not going to get you an elite guy, probably, because if someone elite pops up, someone higher than you is going to get him. If you had the first or second, I probably wouldn't. But if you've got the sixth and it's a 10-team league, you're only going to drop back to 10. So, yeah, I think you could do that. Do we expect Kessler and Sexton to play in March? I think Kessler might. Sexton, I don't know if they're looking to trade him or not. I think if he's still in Utah, there's a chance he doesn't. But if he's moved, he might. I'm not sure. Kessler, I think so. Sexton, not sure. If Keontae plays next week, should I just not activate him since they only have two games? Yeah, I haven't looked at the schedule for next week, but if they only have two games, then yeah, unless you've got someone you can move into the IR spot, then yeah, I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't. If I had a fully healthy roster and he was sitting in my IR spot, I probably wouldn't drop anyone to activate him next week, because I think there are quite a few teams with four games next week. This is the DiVincenzo. If he passes through waivers, you can pick him up for nothing. Yes. Given how serious this league is. Yeah, look, if Mark Williams, Hartenstein, Porzingis, Quickly, Cam Thomas have dropped through waivers, then there's a chance that DiVincenzo does as well. So I would just, if you think you can risk it without giving up your sixth priority pick, whatever we're calling it, then yeah, I think you could just, if you know what time waivers clear, then you could just sit on the wire and wait for them to clear. And then as soon as he's clear, you could add him for nothing. We are long gone from those days when every time Detroit wins, Wingstop gives away free wings. That is something I noticed when I was in the States watching the NBA. All the arenas give away free food for something. I guess I'm thinking that was Detroit's. And yes, they're winning too much now. You can't give away free wings every night. What do we got here from Alex? How would I go about trading for Paolo and Halley? Would offer Dame, Suggs, Scotty Barnes, wait for buy low or just pull trigger. Barely plays and he's 1-10. Would trade get vetoed? Look, if you offer Dame, Suggs and Scotty Barnes for Paolo and Halliburton, I think that's a fair trade. I think, I certainly wouldn't get vetoed or it shouldn't. I think Halley is probably the best player. I don't even think you'd need Suggs there, to be honest. I think Dame and Scotty Barnes for Paolo and Halliburton is fair enough. I don't think people could. Well, you shouldn't have vetoes for starters, but I don't think there's any issues with that. What happened to Quickley's assists? Yeah, he was being more aggressive. He was looking for his shot. He had 20 shot attempts. It happens. Do we think there's a chance that Dillingham works ahead of Conley when he would? I doubt it. I think Conley will play a bit more in the playoffs. But look, they may try to get Dillingham some more minutes, but they also need to keep winning. They're not, where are we? Western Conference. They're 20-18 at the moment. So they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're 8th in the West. Pretty close with the Clippers, Sacramento, Golden State, Phoenix, San Antonio. So there's a lot of teams. So they can't really afford to just go, here you go, Dillingham, go out and just run around for a bit. Heat starters are up there. The Heat bench is fun. I like Khalil Ware. Jovic, I don't mind watching, but they're starters, man. Boston, because of the three-point shooting. Yeah, that's fair. A three-point shooting in general annoys me. And that's more just because I grew up in a different era. But watching some of these teams come down and just jack up threes with no one under the basket, and the coaches don't do anything about it. And I know that's what they're training for and they're working for it. But it's frustrating. A lot of these big centers like Zach Edey and Rudy Gobert, they're just being phased out ever so slowly, unless they're matching up against each other. So that it's a bit annoying, but maybe it'll swing back the other way at some point. I don't know. Blazers or Wizards for sure. Yeah, Wizards are pretty depressing as well. I don't mind the Blazers. Sharp is pretty fun. I like Kamara's energy. Yeah, Ayton. I mean, I don't like Ayton. When Ayton's not playing. So Blazers, I don't mind. Wizards, yeah, I'm not excited about them. But you're right, Toronto and Utah. I like watching Toronto and Utah. I never thought I'd say I like watching Utah. Warriors are pretty boring. Yeah, they are actually. I didn't think of the Warriors. They were boring when they were good, just because they were so good and it was annoying. But now they're just. I like Trace Jackson Davis, but they're not that exciting. Don't worry. Watching the box score of Miami was equally painful. Watching a Portland home game at 2 o'clock. Surely, come on, a better game sitting on the lounge with a beer watching someone other than Portland. There's an article from Phoenix local media. Oh, this is regarding Ayton, where he's quoted to admit his career goal is to get his second contract. Yeah, that and that's what. And look, I mean, you can be all about the money. That's fine. And that is what it appears. I've talked about this, I'm sure, and I don't want to rant again, but I've talked about the fact that to me, he just looks like he wants to play on a winning team. The only time I've seen him trying and engage and active is when Phoenix were good. And the fact that they then were good and went, we don't need you, and moved him, probably said a lot to him, probably made him rethink a few things, and it says a lot about how they viewed him. So, yeah, I just think he needs to be on a team that is competing every night, and then he will compete. But who wants him? I don't think anyone wants him. If D'Lo has top 50 upside, yeah, you could. As I said, you could hold him. I mean, this could be a game. It could be a week. It could be a month. I don't think it's a month. There's no indication of that. I think he probably comes back next week. So if you want to hold him for until then, I think that's okay. Is Ayton for Monk a fair deal? Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think that's fine. Collier single-handedly willed that Trojans team to 15-18 and upset in the first round. Yes, I do remember him. He was a standout for that team. And yeah, he's doing some stuff. It's good to see. Why does Jordan Clarkson post up so much? I don't know. Does he? Maybe he does. He hasn't played forever. This time last season, the Pistons were 3-36. Yes, big turnaround. Not bigger than I thought. I thought they'd be better this year, but they're even better than I thought they'd be. There is a chance, I think, that they may have peaked and we could get a bit of a downward trend in the last month or two, but so far, so good. With the minutes, is Grayson Allen a hold after this 5-game week? If you only need threes, then probably. Yeah, I think you could. And if he starts to trend in the wrong direction, you just drop him. Let's go to this one just quickly. Speaking of Phoenix, they are trying to move Nurk right now to Charlotte for Nick Richards. Yeah, Nick Richards has been talked about as a center that teams are chasing. There's someone else too. Who's the other one? I can't think of the other one, but yeah, Nurk going to Charlotte wouldn't help him either, because there's no way they're going to start him over Mark Williams. Of course, Mark Williams could get injured and then they'd probably start Nurk. So I think if Nurk, even if he's moved to Charlotte, his value won't change. He might be in the rotation at least. Don't watch college basketball, but how does Flags game translate to fantasy? What's your way too early ADP? Yeah, look, I haven't paid a lot of attention to college yet. I did see what he did today. He had 42 points. He's leading Duke in points, threes, assists, steals, blocks, free throw percentage. I don't know, pretty much every category. Where does he translate? I know he's pretty high on dynasty ranks. In terms of like where we would draft him next year, it probably depends a little bit on what team he goes to. I'm fairly certain he will be number one in dynasty drafts from what I'm hearing. But at this point, I don't have a good idea of ADP projection. He's not going to be a Wemby, so he's certainly not going to go that high. Look, he might go, if he's on a team where he's just going to start and play 34 minutes out of the gate, then maybe top 50, I don't know, fourth round, fifth round. But again, it's really a guess at this point. Yeah, look, I think Westbrook will be close to 30 to 32. Does Nurkic hurt Mark Williams? No, I don't think so. No, he'd play like the Nick Richards minutes, 15, 18. I don't think that they would play. If they were competing, they might, but they're obviously not. Yeah. Who? Good one, Chad. Who knew all they had to do was get rid of Killian Hayes, Marvin Bagley, Kevin Knox, RJ Hampton, and James Wiseman to get good? Yeah, a lot of bad decisions made there, and some good ones made this season. What's this one? Gordon's inevitable blessing in disguise. Yeah, look, that's potential. So talking about Aaron Gordon's injury being a blessing, because, yeah, obviously they were struggling a little bit and aren't probably playing as well as they want to play. But Jokic and Westbrook have had an opportunity to build some really good chemistry. Strowther is definitely gaining steam. I think Watson is getting more confident. Brown is solid, and he was solid to start the year, obviously. And Murray is certainly doing his usual ramp up through the second half of the season. So, yeah, the Western Conference Finals. Yeah, look, I think maybe they're in the discussion. I think you've probably got at the moment. I mean, OKC are obviously the standout here, but who plays them in the finals? Denver, Dallas, Memphis, Houston. I mean, Houston are unproven. Memphis are unproven. Dallas are proven to a degree. But the Lakers, the Clippers, the Kings, I don't see any of them. I guess Phoenix, if they somehow got on a run. But yes, there's no reason to think that Denver couldn't push in. If they can avoid OKC, then they could push into the Western Conference Finals. Yeah, that's. I agree with Josh and Kyle on that one. I think Brown could lose out a little bit more, given how well Westbrook has played. Probably a month ago, it would have been the other way around, but Westbrook has really been the old Westbrook. So I think he maintains value. Now, there was a question here just from Shiny Knight. We'll do this one quickly, and then I will jump out. Here is your team: Jokic, Kat, Booker, Jalen Johnson in IR, Jimmy Butler, Quickly, Dyson Daniels, Hartenstein, Vassell, Amen Thompson, Bradley Beal. Who should I drop to play JJ? Well, he's not back yet, is he? If he's back, there's a lot of players that didn't play today on that. On that list, Amen Thompson, that's the other guy that I've got in a lot of teams who would have helped me with steals. Amen Thompson, Vassell, Hartenstein, Zubats, Dyson Daniels all didn't play today. Who would you drop from that list? Ooh. Look, if we're just looking at pure value, it's probably Claxton. And given, because I know your team here and somehow you're good at blocks. Claxton doesn't really fit your build because he's an elite shot blocker. You don't really have any other elite shot blockers. So he'd probably be the one, but wait and see. I mean, Jalen Johnson could miss another week. We just don't know. All right. That will do for today's show. Where's that comment? Get rid of that one. I will be back tomorrow with a pregame show. Early games, I believe. Let me have a look. I think there's a few early games tomorrow. There are two 7 a.m. games for me. So there will be a show nice and early, a pregame show. Hopefully they don't get postponed like this morning's games and I don't get up for nothing. And quite a lot of games tomorrow. 9 games. So it will be a lengthy pregame show tomorrow. So... yes, I will be here in a post-game show tomorrow. There you go, your lucky day, two shows again. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Please go and download and like and do all of that stuff that we always ask. And I'll be back tomorrow. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.